Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks for being here. In just a moment, we have a great conversation with Trevor Sikkema today from Pro Football Focus. He does an unbelievable job covering the NFL, and I think you're going to really enjoy our wide-ranging conversation on a variety of different Packers and NFL topics. He covers the draft. He covers the NFL. He did some recent articles that discuss some Packers and other topics. So I think you're really going to enjoy that conversation. And like I said, that is coming up in just a moment. Before we get there, two quick things. Shout out to Larry E for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate you a ton. Thanks so much for checking that out. Also, we had one transaction that did take place on Monday. Jacob Eason was in fact released. They have that open roster spot now. Eason was basically in camp because Jordan Love did not sign that initial week. They kept him along or around a little bit longer, ultimately didn't work out. And like I said, now they'll have that roster spot to fill. We'll see if at practice today on Tuesday, if they have somebody that they've already filled that spot with, or if they're going to bide their time a little bit more and figure out exactly who they want to take that spot. All right, so that's all. I don't have any other updates. And without any further ado, here is my great conversation with the one and only Trevor Sikkema. I'm joined now by Trevor Sikkema. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. He is the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus and the co-host of the must-listen-to, must-watch NFL Stock Exchange. Trevor, your first time on with me. You've been on with Ross Uggelman in the past. Appreciate you doing this, and thanks so much for coming on today.
Of course. It's great to be on with you. Obviously, we are at an exciting time of the football calendar. Now, it's not just scratching and clawing for any off-season content we can get. We can actually do a little bit of previews, talk a little bit of live ball. So I'm excited to be on with you, man.
Yeah, looking forward to it as well. Usually, you know, they stick me with Sam Monson when I talk to PFF, and I'm like, can I get somebody else? Can I? Just kidding. Sam's amazing, but I appreciate you having me on today. I want to start today with Jordan Love, because obviously He just signed this massive new contract, highest paid quarterback, player, Packer, etc. $55 million per year. I think right around where a lot of people were expecting it to come out. A lot of questions if it would be 4 years or if it'd be 5 years. It ends up being a four-year, $55 million per year extension on top of the 1 year that he already had on the contract. Just your overarching feel, and when you saw this number, when you saw the contract come out, what was your key takeaways from it?
Yeah, certainly with it being an extension, you didn't think that you were going to get the fifth year. Obviously, the Packers would have loved to get the fifth year on there, but on top of an extension, like you mentioned, the year that he's got this year, they weren't going to be able to lock him up for that long. There's just too much money that is coming into the league via TV deals and everything like that, where the salary cap just goes up too much. So I understand the length of the deal. Didn't think that we'd get more than that. I don't know, as an outsider, it's one of those things where when you see the news, you go, holy cow. I mean, right? Like, it's just one full-time year with him as a starter. I felt like through the first, I will say at least, maybe not the full first half of the season, but the first third of the season, I would say, he was still kind of getting acclimated to things. And you were like, oh man, I like the flashes here for Jordan Love. And then he really just caught fire towards the second half of the season. Elite PFF passing grade, obviously the playoff performance in Dallas. Like, he ended the season on fire, essentially. Yeah. And his agents did a really good job of basically saying, like, hey, let's get our boy locked up here with a long-term contract. And, you know, I didn't think that we would move this quick, but I suppose it makes sense, because if you feel as though, you know, Matt LaFleur is going to be the head coach here for a while, Jordan Love's going to be the quarterback here for a while, you want to kind of lock that in and you want that continuity to be there, especially for how well they performed last year. And they make some changes on the defensive side of things. I know that we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but the hope is, hey, the defense starts playing a little bit better. The floor of the defense is better every single week. And you've got this young core of receivers around him where it's just the contract seemed like a shock when we saw the breaking news. But when you sit here and you think about where Green Bay is and how well they were able to play last year in his first year as that full-time as a starter, the youth of the offense, how in theory it should only get better, the changes on defense. It's hard to not get really excited about this and want to invest in Love and what is this current regime that they're building over the next couple of years. So I get it. It was, again, like I say, it was a shock when I saw it initially, but it makes a ton of sense from Green Bay's perspective to get this one done.
So from a national point of view, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. First of all, how much does the other quarterback contracts affect this, right? Because you get Jared Goff gets this, you know, over $50 million deal.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence, 55. Tua gets 53. You know, so you like see the trend. And I mean, if I'm Jordan's agent, I'm certainly saying, hey, these guys just got that. And my guy in his one opportunity had arguably a better stretch and a better season than those guys have ever had in their opportunities. Like my guy's got to get more. So first of all, how much does that affect it? And then number two, if you were starting a team from scratch and you had Goff on his contract, Lawrence on his contract, Tua on his contract, any of the guys that got new contracts basically this offseason, where are you kind of putting Love in that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to answer that, if I'm thinking of everybody correctly off the top of my head, it's Lawrence and Love is right up there, right? I mean, like these are the two guys with the highest ceiling. Yep. I think that Love has shown a more sustained peak, if you will. Like there was a run, not last year, I think it was the year before maybe, where Trevor Lawrence was just going off and it was like, okay, Trevor's arrived, and it's still been a little bit of a roller coaster since. Maybe that will be the case for Love, right? I don't know if he's going to be able to hit the ground running exactly where he left off last year. So there'll be a little bit of up and down, but answer your question, I think it's those two guys at the top that I would take there. And certainly the timing of other quarterback contracts is a really big deal, because like I think Lawrence's contract was exactly to that, right? Lawrence was another contract where people were like, man, more than $50 million a year. Like Lawrence has been, you know, like Lawrence has been good, but he has not been this, you know, prince that was promised, as they say, for him to really ascend to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. People bring up, you know, the playoff performance and I guess just lack of overall of a playoff run that Jacksonville has been able to have since Lawrence has been there. But it is that timing, right? You get these players who, simply because their contracts are up or close to being up, and if teams have the flexibility in the salary cap, like I mentioned, the overall cap for the team, it just seems to go up every single year. So to get your guy at a high piece of the pie at this point in time, well, the deal's only supposed to look better and better and better and better as time goes on. So you have to remember that about when you kind of take the massive quarterback contracts into the equation. And I think the big one for me with Green Bay is, they want, like, certainly like the Lawrence deal, the Tua deal, you know, he's sort of in that conversation with age and what he means to the franchise long term. Like all of that, I think he's close to those guys. But I really think that Green Bay wanted to get this deal in before Dak signed his deal. Yeah. Because Dak has a longer period of time in which he has been a very good quarterback in this league. I know some people roll their eyes because of lack of postseason success, but I'll get to that in a second. Dak last season, before the postseason, I mean, if Lamar doesn't have the year that he has, Dak could have very well won MVP.
Agreed. Like
that is how efficient and good Dak Prescott was last year. And then you have an exact one-for-one of Jordan Love goes on the road into Dallas. Dak looks terrible. Jordan looks great. They end up beating Dallas and upsetting Dallas there. Well, if Jerry Jones and the Cowboys would have been, you know, at a quicker timeline to get that deal done, what if Prescott, because of the longevity that he has of how good that he has been, gets $60 million a year, right? Then Jordan Love's agents get to go, hey, buddy, we went into that dude's house and we beat him. And that was his first year as a starter. So to me, I think people were kind of stacking it up with like, oh, you got to look at Lawrence deal, you got to look at Tua's deal, that kind of thing. To the big question mark and the big chess piece, if you will, for Jordan Love was always Dak Prescott, because there was too much of an easy way for Love and his camp to have huge leverage over whatever Prescott's number was going to be that he was going to sign for. So I think that goes into it too.
And then per usual, Dak will get something more, and then there'll be another set of quarterbacks that get more. And then all of a sudden in a couple of years, we'll be looking at $55 million, and Jordan Love will probably be around the 10th or 11th or 12th, right around probably where you would kind of expect him to be. So it's just sort of the nature of the beast. And not to quote both of our competitors here, and I was listening to the Athletic Football Show, and they're just like, also a part of that goes into this too is, you know, just how scared GMs can get of the alternative. You know, you don't have that quarterback, right, whether it's Tua, whether it's Lawrence, whether it's, and just the alternative to not having that is just purgatory and probably GM death, you know, and, by not having a QB. So it is so difficult if you don't have that guy.
And I think beyond even just the regular like team building, which I agree with you, for owners specifically, right? Because like owners got to be involved in signing off on these massive contracts for quarterbacks and face of the franchise guys. Hope is extremely profitable.
Big time.
Right? So it's that absolutely good. When people think about some of these quarterback deals that are getting done, again, I go back to Lawrence deal as well, because people were very skeptical about him making the amount of money that he has. Jacksonville has hope at the quarterback position for the first time in a long time. And Jacksonville's been a franchise that like has had a lot of ups and downs, and like, yeah, they've had some years where they've been great, but just the Jags franchise, I would say over the last 20 years, most of it has not been great. It has not been profitable. Right now they are. Right now they can sell they can at least sell the dream that if things work out with Lawrence as the centerpiece, think about what this team could be. And people want to jump in and buy merchandise and season tickets and get invested and all that kinds of stuff. Not that the Packers are short on passionate fans or anything, but it's sort of, it's the same anywhere you have a young quarterback. Jordan Love had a phenomenal year last year, and hope and being able to sell that, and now having this guy locked up with a long-term deal, and Jordan Love doesn't have to worry about any money anymore. We're just going out and playing football. Like, that is extremely profitable. So it's things that a lot of franchises have to think about as well.
Big time. Before we wrap up on Jordan Love, I know you guys do your rankings by the position groups, and Jordan Love came in at number 11 for quarterbacks. Whatever the ranking is, who's in front, who's in back. I more want to know, like, obviously you guys had him at 11, and then just kind of your more expectations for Jordan going into this season, what you maybe think that upside and maybe the valley is, if maybe he does have a little bit of setback, or just kind of overall what you're expecting from him this upcoming year.
Yeah, I can't really see him taking a step back to be any further than, I don't know, like 16, 17 on the list feels like at the worst. You know, it was a big, huge melting pot once I get really outside the top 10. That was the toughest part of writing that exercise, is you got a lot of quarterbacks in there. You know, Tua is in there, Brock Purdy's in there, Jordan Love is in there, Jared Goff is in there. And it's like, man, how do you exactly position these quarterbacks, because they're all so different? So it was sort of, and I think I called it a melting pot tier that was right there, but it was really those guys at number 10 and number 11. It was CJ Stroud and it was Jordan Love, where I can see a massive jump from those guys, because the players right in front of him, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, like guys like that, you could absolutely see CJ Stroud and Jordan Love popping into that top six category if they're able to have another fantastic season, given, you know, the weapons that they've got around them, that the future outlook, all that kinds of stuff. So those guys right outside of that fringe top 10, but those are the two, Love and Stroud right there, that I think could have the biggest jump into that top 10 a year from now.
Week 7, Packers Texans at Lambeau Field, somehow a noon game. I have no idea how that's a noon game, but Stroud versus Jordan Love, that is going to be absolutely amazing. That'll be one on the Octobox that I think everyone's just a little bit more keyed in on, but I cannot wait for that game, because I do think it's two of the best young quarterbacks going head to head, and hopefully both of them put on a show. Let's get to your another piece that you wrote. Best offseason decision by every team. Mm-hmm. And Packers had some interesting ones. Obviously, at their draft class, they get Josh Jacobs, they get Xavier McKinney, who I know you thought of in that piece as well, of thinking mm-hmm. that it was 1 and 2. But you had number one on your list, the hiring of Jeff Hafley. And then again, sort of 1B in that was Xavier McKinney signing along with it. But what can Jeff Hafley bring to this Packers defense and turn it around from where Joe Barry was to really make it that this is a epic move by the Packers? What's up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action, and if you haven't started playing Prize Picks yet, you should probably sign up right now, and you'll quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. There's never been a better time than right now to sign up. You can turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA continue to rack up the gold medals and dominate the competition in Paris. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, most importantly, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James as their respective teams look to advance to eventually have a chance to face each other in the finals. Should be a massively fun week of basketball action on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You know, I referenced it a little bit earlier, but I hope it's a higher floor, right? When I looked at Joe Barry's time when he was with the Packers, they never finished with a team rushing grade in a single season above 62.5. Like, it was never what it needed to be. And it felt like the Packers defense had a lot of talent on the team, but the ebbs and flows, I mean, defense in general is sort of like a highs and lows, kind of that side of the ball. Like some weeks it's just not your week. Offense is generally more predictable because, you know, you're either feeling it or you're not. And I think that the momentum there, I know that's sometimes a trigger word or a buzzword with momentum, but you know, normally like, hey, you're on a hot streak, you're feeling it, you're really connected with your teammates offensively, it's going well or it's going not. Defense, it could be great one week, it could be bad the next, but the floor of defense and specifically defensive coordinators, I think, is really important. And just under Barry, it was not high enough. They just were not able to, especially defend the run the way they needed to week in and week out. And I think that, you know, Hafley coming in, changing things up in the front a little bit, getting some different guys in there, having that deep defensive line rotation still like the Packers have had for the last couple of years, some really nice additions in the secondary. Like, I love the Jabon Bullard addition as well for the versatility that he's going to be able to bring. Love the addition of Xavier McKinney. I know you're replacing some safeties there, but you got some good ones that I think you're going to be able to throw in the mix. That, to me, is a nice little ingredient sheet for a good recipe that has a higher floor on defense than the Packers have seen over the last couple of years.
So glad that you brought up the run defense in that, because if you look at it, I'd have to look at it again. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I'm pretty sure if you look at it, Green Bay's third and long efficiency on defense was actually pretty good, if I remember correctly. But they could never get in third and longs. It was a team that consistently gave up 4.5 yards per carry in the run, and teams would just do it on first down and get in super advantageous positions. I always talked about Green Bay never ate their vegetables on defense. Yes, it's great that you can be a good third down defense, but if you never get in those situations, it doesn't matter all that much. And in Green Bay, of course, it was a very popular topic of how offenses would basically just paper cut Green Bay's defense to death. And yes, great that you're good on third down, but you're not getting there, and great that you're not giving up explosive plays, but in the meantime you're giving up 70 80 yard drives for touchdowns, you're bending and breaking, and now Jordan Love and that explosive offense are just sitting on the sideline watching 9 minutes go off the clock. I think everyone in Green Bay is ready to watch a much different brand of defense, and I very much believe, just what I've seen so far in camp, I think we're going to definitely see that with Jeff Hafley.
And you can't right, there's not really many excuses anymore, right? You've got a super deep defensive line. You've got some studs along the defensive line. You got a lot of really good players on the back end as well, whether you're running an odd or an even front. I know things will look a little bit different this year. You talked about how the secondary, I thought the secondary was nice at times when a lot of those guys were healthy. I know health was a big question mark for them over the last couple of years, but we basically, last year we got into a spot where it's like, okay, there's no excuses. Like, this should be better this year. And it was not. And that, I think, was enough evidence, I should just say, to make a change and find somebody else. Cause you got too many good players on that defensive line to be, you know, getting gashed in the run game like Green Bay has been over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, the constant question is that they've spent so much on this defense. I mean, you go right now, Xavier McKinney, huge contract, Jabon Bullard, second rounder, Quay Walker, first rounder, Edgerrin Cooper, second rounder, Preston Smith, big contract, Rashawn Gary, first rounder, LVN, first rounder, Kenny Clark, first rounder, and big contract, Devontae Wyatt, first rounder.
Yeah.
Like, we can just go on and on. It's like all first round picks. Keyshawn Nixon in the slot now actually has like a $7 million per year contract. Like, every single player is either on a big contract or was basically taken in the first or second round, and you're just filled with a defense of that. So now so you either spent the money and the ammunition and your resources on the wrong guys, or you had the wrong guys coaching them. Now we're about to find out, all right, new system, new style of play, new defensive coordinator. Was it the players or was it the scheme? And I think everyone's obviously hoping it was a scheme thing, and that with all that talent on this defense, they're going to be able to turn it around this year.
Yep. You gotta hope it's a scheme at this point, because like you said, you're too invested in those guys with high picks and a lot of money. So if it is the players that you brought in, that's going to be a lot more time consuming and costly of a rebuild. So you certainly hope that it was just the wrong guy was there at defensive coordinator and you made the switch.
Always easier to turn around a coordinator than it is an entire defense. And yes, hopefully it works in this scenario. Obviously, Trevor, you're a draft guy. Green Bay had an interesting draft. Jordan Morgan in the first round, couple second round picks, Edgerrin Cooper, as well as Javon Bullard, a couple third round picks in Marshawn Lloyd and Tyron Hopper. And then Evan Williams, they trade up for in the fourth round. Obviously had some picks after that as well. But you don't have to necessarily go through your entire draft breakdown of these guys, but maybe a couple guys that you're excited about seeing play in preseason and what you think maybe they can bring to Green Bay this year.
Yeah. So don't shoot the draft analyst, because I don't know if any of these guys have been like dinged up in camp or anything. I haven't been up on as many reports as I probably wanted to, but just guys that I'm excited about, whether it's, you know, preseason, the regular season, moving forward. Marshawn Lloyd, somebody that I'm really looking forward to, because it feels as though, you know, you make the change from Aaron Jones, you bring in Josh Jacobs. Obviously, I think that's a nice move for them to make sure that they supplement that and weren't just losing Aaron Jones, because I've thought that Jones was one of the most underrated backs in the league, top 10 back over the last couple of years. A.J. Dillon's been a little bit of a disappointment, but Marshawn Lloyd gives you that like size and athleticism where I think that they were hoping they were getting that with Dillon. It just has not been productive with his skill set, where Lloyd, I think, showed you, you know, when he was at South Carolina, but also when he was at USC, you know, he opened the field up for him a little bit more. He's a really good athlete at his size. So I'm excited to see kind of how he can work. Obviously, Morgan, can he, you know, claiming one of those starting spots in the offensive line, we wonder where it was going to be. It looks like it's going to be at guard. So certainly that transition for him going from offensive tackle to offensive guard, I felt as though he was more of a guard. You know, when we were having those conversations with a lot of those offensive tackles, you know, like Talise Fuanga was one of those guys. Hey, is he a tackle or is he a guard? Fuanga is somebody who I would have naturally said, let's let him play tackle first. Morgan, I could have understood if somebody drafted him and wanted to play tackle, but when I looked at him and his lack of measurables, I was like, man, I think this guy could be a really great guard for you. So I felt as though this was more inevitable for him. So obviously seeing how he fares against NFL level competition. The defense, though, a lot of these defensive guys are the ones that I'm the most excited about, because Javon Bullard was one of my favorite players in the class. I mean, I love this dude. You do not get on the field as an underclassman at Georgia for those national championship winning defenses unless you are all about football. And this dude is, man. I love his mentality. I love how he approaches things. They had to get him on the field over the last, you know, couple of years. It started off with him being their starting slot defender. I loved how he approached run defense and how physical he was there against wide receivers and press coverage. Then they put him more in this as a safety role this past season. I still think he will be best as a slot defender at the next level. Now, I know, like, you kind of mix in where Jair is playing, and he's one of the best coverage guys in the league. So it's going to be a little bit of a balance there. But I just love how people often forget that you can't just say, oh, this guy's a corner, but he's smaller. Let's move him in the slot. Or you can't just go like, oh, there's this safety who maybe isn't big enough, so let's just move him in the slot. You got to be able to, one, have the quickness to play in the slot, but two, the aspect that people forget about the most is that you have to defend the run. Big time. You are closer to the line of scrimmage. If you cannot just put these small corners who are maybe just like too small to play on the outside in the slot. It's not just this easy transition. You've got to be strong, and you got to have a mentality for run defense. Javon Bullard absolutely does. So I'm looking forward to that. And obviously how he plays next to Xavier McKinney, if he gets some reps there as well. And then I think Tyron Hopper and Edgerrin Cooper, to me, are cut from the same cloth. Now, obviously, there's a reason why Cooper gets drafted ahead of Hopper, because I think he's just more athletic overall. But both of these dudes, and drafting both of them, signal that, you know, whether they're going to continue to play an odd front or more even front stuff, their linebackers are going to be attacking players. Both Cooper and Hopper are attacking downhill inside linebacker types of players. And so that is just, to me, shows an aggressiveness from, or a aggressive mentality or want from them, from their linebacker position. So I'm excited to see, hopefully they're going to be in that correct position. And I think that they're going to use them appropriately, let them kind of trigger downhill more than retreat in coverage. You're going to need to do it as a linebacker every now and then, but both of those guys are best on the blitz when they can see ball, get ball, if you will, because they've got the speed to do it. And I think they can be impactful players with tackles at the line of scrimmage or even tackles in the backfield.
is interesting because as soon as Jeff Hafley was hired, the question was going to be, is Goody still going to kind of draft his same type of guys, or will there be a different sort of theme? And I was like, all right, Edgerrin Cooper, attacking player, Tyron Hopper, attacking player, Javon Bullard, attacking player, like Ketan Oladapo, attacking player. It was just like attacking player after attacking player that you're like, all right, clearly they have a mindset here of what they kind of want. Just to give you the 10-second rundown, Jordan Morgan looks so far like he's going to start at right guard. He's competing a little bit with Sean Ryan, but it looks like he's going to probably win that job. Javon Bullard and Evan Williams are competing with Anthony Johnson Jr. for that starting safety spot opposite of Xavier McKinney. It definitely looks like Bullard and Williams are going to be involved in some capacity. They've both looked fantastic so far, and Bullard has gotten some opportunities in the slot as well. Although that has primarily been Keyshawn Nixon, they've experimented a little bit more with some big nickel with Javon Bullard there, and I think we will see some of that as well. Marshawn Lloyd just got a little bit banged up at the beginning of camp, just got back, started doing some team stuff. He looked unbelievable in OTAs and minicamp, and now we're starting to see some of that awesome movement ability in training camp and at family night the other night as well. So he's coming along nicely. And then Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper, both of them have been on the outside looking in behind actually Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Eric Wilson so far. You can kind of tell that they're just taking these guys a little bit slowly. And now Edgerrin Cooper got banged up a little bit as well. But it felt like maybe Cooper was going to be a guy that they were going to utilize in some specific packages, some specific sets, and probably more as like a blitzer QB, you know, spy to begin with, and then, you know, let him kind of expand from there. So we won't go over everyone, but just to kind of give you the 10-second rundown, that's kind of where players are at right now.
Yeah, no, I love to hear it. I think that's in a lot of ways, some really good updates from those players. Obviously hope that Lloyd continues to be healthy, and injuries have kind of been a thing for him throughout his college career, but really, really talented player. I think RB5, I believe, for me when it was all said and done in this past class. So he was somebody that I was pretty high on for sure.
And thankfully for him, I think he missed maybe four days of practice, something like that at most. So it wasn't anything egregious. And now he's certainly getting back into the team activities as well. Really quick, before I let you go, wanted to talk first of all about the NFC North in general. So I know picked to win the NFC North. A lot of popular opinion right now is the Detroit Lions, understandably so. Just in the NFC Championship, they're obviously an extremely talented team. Got some big time players, almost all of which they've signed to huge contracts this offseason. And then just kind of where not only the Packers fit in that hierarchy, but then also want to get your thoughts on both JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams as well. Two players that I've been trying to keep an extra close eye on in camp so far. Seems like Williams has had sort of those general rookie ups and downs where you get some of the flashes, but then you know, some of the interceptions and some of the things like that just kind of come with the territory. McCarthy's been behind Sam Darnold so far.
Right.
But by all accounts, in every single video and everything, has looked fantastic, although mostly against the two. So I'll let you go in any direction you want to go with all of that.
Yeah, you know, obviously anything could happen once the ball gets kicked off for week one, but it's so hard to not predict Detroit to win this division. I mean, there's so much continuity coming back. The team is so strong on both sides of the ball. The chemistry is there for them. It feels like their year, if they're going to have one, this is the one where they get over the top and they get to the Super Bowl. So I think that just the strength that they have in the coaching staff and the roster and what we've seen already, what's been proven with this team and those stars that they have there, it's hard to not predict them to be at the top of the division. I think the Packers are next, though. You know, that over-under win total for them, I think, is right around like 9.5. Yeah. I think that 10 wins is certainly realistic for them, and I would slightly take the over with this Packers team. I think that 10-11 wins is more likely than them underachieving and being at like 9 wins, 8 wins, something like that. So I'd take that over there. I think they're that next team. I think Chicago's going to be the next team in this division, just because there's been such an influx in talent with that group, and I'm excited to kind of watch them play this year. Obviously, Caleb is somebody who I had rated well above JJ McCarthy. So like, if you're asking me to kind of like take those two guys, I'm obviously going to take Caleb, and the wide receivers that he has to throw to are just unbelievable. I think it's going to be another good year for their offensive line, maybe even a little bit of a better year. And then we'll see what happens with the defensive side of things, but it'll be an up and down season for the Bears. And I think they'll play spoiler a couple of games, you know, for some teams that you maybe thought that they shouldn't beat just because the talent level is there. And then I would say McCarthy, look, I always figured that it was going to be some time for McCarthy, and one of my favorite signings of the entire offseason for any team was actually Sam Darnold, because I thought that Sam, you know, certainly for what he showed last year when he was with the Niners, hey, you're giving him a pretty substantial contract as a guy who you know is going to be a bridge player, but somebody who I think could work really well with Kevin O'Connell. So I don't think that JJ is going to be out there week one, and actually the moment in the season in which I think they're going to make the change unless Sam is just bad and they've got to make it beforehand, is week seven, I believe. They have a bye week. It's either week seven or week six. Minnesota's got a bye week. And then at home, they host Detroit. So obviously not ideal you're hosting Detroit, but you get then that like 2 weeks to practice. You get a game at home, which is ideal for a rookie quarterback. So if they're going to make the change to McCarthy, I think that's probably the earliest they do it. Yeah, I think that he's been looking good. And I think that I've seen the training camp practices as like everybody else has. But it's different once the live bullets start flying, if you will, when you get into the regular season with regular season speed and going up against the ones at all times. So both just for Caleb and for JJ, whenever he gets out there as a starter, it's going to be an up and down season for them. There's no doubt about it. But that's how I see the NFC North.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair assessment. Week six bye, like you said, and then week seven is when they have that game against Detroit. From a NFL standpoint, you always enjoy seeing when teams kind of do it the right way. And like you said, with bringing in Sam Darnold, letting McCarthy sort of go on his own, side. And when he's ready, he's ready. Mm-hmm. But then also bringing in Josh McCown as the quarterback's coach. Obviously, you get Aaron Jones, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson. They just signed Darisaw to a big new deal.
Yeah.
Like, as much as it pains me as a Packer guy, like, Minnesota's doing it the right way there with JJ McCarthy. And when he's ready, he's ready. And they're going to certainly take their time with him. And I think that's the right way to go.
This division is shaping up to be good, man. I mean, we have long looked at, I think, the AFC North with the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns as like this unbelievable division in football, probably top to bottom, the toughest division in the league. The NFC North is getting there. I mean, a year from now, we might look at all four of these teams and go, are they all going to get into the playoffs somehow, some way? Yep. Like, it's just they're shaping up to be that good with their quarterback situations and with the teams set the way that they are.
All right, final thought. Like I said, I know you're a draft guy. Could just a couple names that maybe the Packers should watch this college football season that maybe could be in play, or just maybe some interesting draft names for next year.
Okay, so you help me out a little bit with this. Just kind of like projecting forward. If you give me like two or three positions, I'll give you some names of guys to look out for.
Yeah. So defensive tackle, definitely defensive tackle is probably one of them. Yes. And then corner would be the other. I think those two are probably a couple things that they could certainly address next offseason.
Okay. Defensive tackle. There's a lot of good ones. They're not going to be picking high enough to be able to get Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan, who I think is good enough to potentially be a number one overall pick. I really do. Like, he is phenomenal. He flashed at the end of last season as a true sophomore. He'll be a true junior this year. He's awesome. His teammate as well. That's probably a little bit more realistic. Kenneth Grant, massive nose tackle type of a player, but somebody who's got a finesse game for a nose tackle type. If the Packers want to continue to play odd front stuff, I know there'll be multiple in what they do, but if they want to play more odd front stuff, obviously Kenneth Grant, I think, would be great for him. Deion Walker, absolute freak of a build type of a player from Kentucky. You got to keep an eye on him. He's like 6 foot six and a half, like 350 pounds. Just the craziest build you've ever seen for an interior defensive lineman. And then a couple other ones that I like. Tyleek Williams from Ohio State, somebody to keep an eye on. TJ Sanders from South Carolina, I feel like he's going under the radar. Not enough people talking about him. And then Dante Corleone, one of the best nicknames in college football, the Godfather. He's coming back. We were worried about him because he had a medical condition. He had blood clots earlier this summer, but it looks like everything's good to go. It looks like he's going to be able to play this season. It looks like he's good. So that's kind of the defensive line. Some names to know there. I'm working through the cornerback position right now, and actually it's a really good year to need a cornerback. Obviously, you got guys at the very top, like Will Johnson, I think, could be a top five pick from Michigan, who's just one of the best corners that I've ever scouted. I mean, his tape is just so easy to love. It's such an easy eval. But guys like Benjamin Morrison, outside cornerback from Notre Dame, taller, longer dude, likes to be in press coverage. If they want to do a little bit more of that, he's an awesome choice there. Travis Hunter, the incredible dual threat player from Colorado. I think he'll be a corner at the next level. So I'm kind of projecting him as a corner. Yep. Obviously, an incredibly talented playmaker there. It's Cario Davis, 6'3", 6'4", outside cornerback. And when you think 6'3", 6'4", you go, man, is this guy move enough? Is he fluid enough to play outside corner? He is. And he actually matches up against big receivers very, very well. I know the Packers have some draft thresholds when it comes to size and length. And Takario Davis definitely won't be on the short end of the stick when it comes to that. And then, I'll mention Denzel Burke as well from Ohio State, somebody who could have come out this past year he wants to raise his stock a little bit more. He wants to be a surefire first round pick. And Ohio State's got a pretty damn good defense returning this year. So those are a handful of names at the cornerback position to watch as well.
I'm smiling because you can tell always when somebody is super passionate about something. And as soon as we get to start talking draft, you can just tell like your excitement, your enthusiasm just picks up. It's like me when I'm talking Packers, you talk fast, you talk excited. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm smiling. Maybe the Packers can replace TJ Slayton with TJ Sanders at defensive tackle. Maybe that could be a direction they go in. Trevor, this was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time. Obviously go out and follow his work over on PFF. You can find him as the co-host on the NFL Stock Exchange on Twitter at Tampa Bay. Trey, anything else you want to plug on your way out?
No, I mean, we're gearing up for the season just like you guys are. So we'll start ramping up all the NFL content. And then once the season starts going, we're going to be doing a lot of emphasis of like, hey, these are the grades that the players earn, you know, starting to have a lot more of those conversations within our video content and things like that. So just very excited about all that stuff. And I appreciate you having me on the show. This is a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, you bet. Trevor's the best. Make sure to check him out again at Tampa Bay Trey. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.